Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Awesome. You guys doing all right?
Yes.
If you're here for the very first time, it's a real honor and a privilege to have you here. We love Jesus here.
Amen.
How many of you love Jesus? Just give us a wave. And we love Jesus really for one reason, and that's because he's first. Say first.
First.
He first loved us. The Bible, one of the ways in which the Bible describes Jesus is Alpha. Jesus is an Alpha male. He was the first. And he loved me first. He loves you first. He gave his life first to me. Oh, look, here's a picture. This is a nice picture. Did you just do that? Okay, here's a picture 2 weeks ago. If you can't see it, you're sitting in the wrong seat. If you can't see it, you should be sat on the front row. If you can't see it, it is a hand that looks like that with a crown on it. It's put Jesus first. Just find your forefinger, not the fourth finger, your forefinger, the one that sometimes you do that with. That's it. And when we put Jesus first, now look at Philip. Everyone look at Philip's finger, because he's obviously done something extraordinary. What have you been doing to your finger? Oh, right, okay. So Philip is a cut above everybody else. Did you see what I did then? Sorry, I can't help it if I'm so sharp. Sorry. But I have to say that in case you didn't get the point. But the whole reason is because, so Jesus is first. I believe that we're in a season where God wants to put himself first and in a sense put us last. But before I get into that, kind of the core part of the message really God's put in my heart is I just want to thank everybody that came out on Wednesday evening. We had, I think, quite a significant time on impact prayer. And just as I was kind of, we were praying this morning, imagine that I'm 118,000 people stood in front of you, all right? Okay, so it's not just me. But I just want to thank you, whether you came out on Wednesday night and joined us or whether you just prayed at home. I want to thank you on behalf of the lonely, on behalf of the sick, on behalf of the depressed, on behalf of the rejected and the desperate. I want to thank you on behalf of the ashamed and the broken and the isolated people in Worthing and the area, because you took the time to pray, declare and decree God's intention. I want to thank you, whether you came out on Wednesday, whether you prayed at home, because prayer changes everything. All right, so I know there's a couple of dozen of us out there. It was a bit blowy. It was a lot of fun. But just the sense of God doing something in that 1 hour. If you couldn't make it, absolutely get that. But please pray. Continue to pray for your neighbours, your friends, your work colleagues, your enemies. Even people that you think hate you. Pray for them as well. And I'm just so thrilled to get the orange card from the outreach, because Andrea started the outreach on Saturday where we started to pray from. Is that right? Where's Andrea? Yes. And that's partly why I think God's presence was just over it in a different way. Because there's an investment. As we were just gathering last week and celebrate Pentecost, Pentecost is not a one-off experience. It was a part of history that has happened where everything changed. Pentecost is not just something that happened and it has to happen and happen and happen again. No, it's happened and it had such a significant impact on the spiritual life that it continues to happen today. And as we continue to engage with who God is and who the Holy Spirit is, he wants us to live out of the good of what he has already done. Is that okay? So just want to say thanks for that. Also to say that on Sundays at 9, we pray for the service. So already, we've been just praying for you. What have we been praying for you? That you meet with God. That you hear from God. We don't want to have a building like this just for people to come and promote the building or promote the church. The church is God's people. So as we were praying this morning and praying for our young people, for United, we're praying for the seat that you're sat on, and we're praying for the people that you're going to bring next week. Amen. It's time. The word of the Lord for us as Kingdom Faith this year is it's time. Say it's time.
It's time.
But what's it time for? If you go back over some of the messages, it's time to live in the power of God and not in the power of ourselves. Yeah. It's time to arise and make a difference. It's time to do in public what we get in secret with God. It's time to live for others and not ourselves. It's time. It's still that time. I'm excited that it's still that time. We started a couple of days ago the June reading plan. If you haven't got one of these, can I encourage you just to grab one on the way out? Because it will help fuel your faith. There's a whole lot of words outside of the room. And most of us hear 20 to 30,000 words a day. And they're not all the word of God. Some of them will try and trick you. Some of them will try and flatter you. Some of them will just try and tell you stories. Some of them will just lie to you. We need to fuel the word of truth, the Bible. Does anybody agree with that? Anybody else have a Bible? So we love the word of God in this church. We believe it is how God thinks written down on paper so that we can understand it. I think it's great that God wants me, you, to understand what he thinks. I think that's amazing. At the moment, there's all kinds of thinking out there. Who's going to rule our country? Jesus. Who's going to be in charge? Jesus. Where's it all going to go? God knows. So there's another way of thinking. It's not that we're not interested in politics and government, but I know that the government is on his shoulders. I also know that I need to pray for those in authority. I don't have to be politically blue, red or green, or I couldn't make my mind up. My political allegiance is to Jesus. Hallelujah. Because that's what the Bible tells me. As we've been reading through Luke, and again, I like to grab hold of some of the scriptures that God speaks to me out through the Bible. And last week we had a powerful time just praying for people. And if you were here, I hope you would agree that God touched your life. How many of you, God touched your life last week when you were here? It was a great time. And today God wants to, guess what? Touch our lives again. He wants to touch them more profoundly, more deeply. So I'm just going to comment on a few thoughts, really, that God spoke to my heart. I'm sure he spoke to your heart as well, out of Luke 5 from last Monday up until Luke 11. And then we're going to pray for some people. One of the great dynamics I love about Kingdom Faith is that being an apostolic, which basically means I know that God has sent me here for a reason. But I also know God sent you here for a reason. Half of the apostolic word means someone sent with purpose. Do you know that you've been sent with a purpose? You weren't just born, you weren't just found, you weren't just a mistake, you weren't any of those things. You were designed with a purpose. God had a purpose in mind when he thought about you. Woo! Just look at the person next to you and say, you're a person of purpose. And because God had a purpose for you. That's it. Try not to laugh too much when you say it. I know it's hard. But because you're a person of purpose, God does things in your life on purpose. He does them deliberately. He gave his life on purpose. He shed his blood on purpose. He went on a cross on purpose. He went to the tomb on purpose. He rose up on purpose. He gave the Holy Spirit on purpose. He made promises on purpose. In other words, he has a purpose for you and is so determined to make it real that he came to fulfill it as well. I think that's amazing. Just consider this. God has a purpose for you, but also he came to help you live in that purpose. Amen. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I think that is immense. That God was so passionate about his purpose for you that he took an agreement. I'm going to come and live and die and live again so that they can live in that purpose. I think that's amazing. How many of you are amazed by that? I'm amazed by that. And as we've been looking at the Gospel of Luke and a few other things, I've just been incredibly overwhelmed again at the sense of purpose. The scriptures from the Bible will come up behind me because Josh is on it. Bless him. In Luke 5, verse 31 to 32, Jesus made this interesting statement. Jesus said to them, who's them? These are the people that were just challenging. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing this, Jesus? Jesus said, it's not the healthy you need a doctor, but the sick. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Aren't you pleased that Jesus did not come for perfect people?
Come on, I'm so thrilled by that. That Jesus did not come looking for perfection. Jesus came to bring perfection. Jesus didn't come looking for perfect people who he could then befriend and have a relationship with. He came for those who were not perfect and said, I'm going to make you perfect. Perfect in a sense of whole, well, and free. Just say whole, whole, well, and free. You are so good. So I just want to encourage you that Jesus is not waiting until you're perfect. Antonio was first out of the trap there. Did you hear that? Hallelujah. He didn't come looking for perfection. He came so people could see what it looked like. Then in Luke 5, just a bit further on, 36 to 39, he told them a story. This is a good story. Parables, parabola. It's a story with a meaning. And he said this, no one tears a piece out of a new garment to patch an old one. Otherwise, they will have torn the new garment. And the patch from the new will not match the old. No one pours new wine into an old wineskin. Otherwise, the new wine will burst the skin. The wine will run out and the wineskin will be ruined. No, new wine must be poured into new wineskin. And no one after drinking old wine wants the new one. For they say the old is better. Jesus came to exchange your old for his new. Jesus came to exchange your past for his future. Jesus came to exchange your life for his life. I think that's incredible. Some of you may know that, but I want you to know that you know that. We only know what we know when we do what we know. Come on. I want you to know when you look at the mirror of life tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock, 6 o'clock, rock, whatever time it is, that when you look in that mirror, you know there's a new person looking back at you. Amen. I want you that when you look in the mirror of your life, you don't see the old fag end that almost made it, woulda, shoulda, coulda person. If you gave your life to Jesus, the old has gone. I want you to see someone new with potential, with purpose, with destiny looking back at you. It may just be Monday, but God says it's a good day to rejoice in. Can anybody agree with that in the room? Because Jesus came, not for the perfect, but the imperfect, and he said, I'm going to exchange. It's a free trade. I'm going to exchange your old for my new. Come on. No euro, no Brexit, no exit. He says, no, you give me your life, and I will give you mine. Amen. I think that's pretty good. Chapter 6 goes into this. Josh, are you all right, Josh? Josh is on it. I'll tell you what he's on. He's got his finger ready. Luke 6, 20 to 23 says this. Looking at his disciples, and I believe he's looking at us right now. If you know Jesus, the Bible calls you a disciple. What's a disciple? One that likes the discipline and the relationship of being with God. That's really what a disciple is. They're a learner. Looking at his disciples, he said this, blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Ha ha! Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. Jesus came to bless everyone who follows him. But blessing looks like something. The Bible calls it, or Wesley called it, an inexpressible joy. There is something that God puts in you when you exchange old for new that the world cannot suppress, crush, push, get rid of, ignore, or even make silent. It's joy without a reason. It's a joy that refuses to give up, quit, or moan. It's just a joy. The Bible calls it the joy of our salvation. Let's just describe what does that mean. It's the joy of having Jesus in our life. Jesus didn't come for the perfect. He came for the imperfect. He takes the old and gives you new. But what does he give you? He gives you something which is indestructible. Come on! So in the morning, when you look at the mirror, some of you, maybe you do this already, maybe your spouses do on your behalf, I have no idea. When you look in the mirror, laugh. my wife does that a lot around our house, at me, is that when you look at the mirror, just laugh. Because laugh, I think, is a sense of joy, thanksgiving. It's going to be all right. It's going to be well. When you're going into work, it's like, oh, I don't get on with this, but go hard, laugh it off. When you've had another row with your neighbour, you expect to, just laugh it off. When maybe you've just had a row with your kids or with your spouse or with your whoever it is, just laugh it off. Let it roll out of you. And let it change from a moan to a groan of, yeah, it's all right. I think Jesus is great. I think he set us up so that we spend more time happy than unhappy. I think there's something that when you give your life to Jesus, it switches us from being a Saint Miserable to a Saint Happy. And whatever happens, you cut your finger on your scissors. Is that the first thing that comes out of you is, thank you, Jesus, that you didn't cut my arm off. And next time, be careful with the scissors, right? Is that there's a blessing. There is a blessing. You all right, man? You sure? Scissors? Scissors? Okay. Chapter 7. Verse 48 to 50. Jesus said to this lady, this lady was an interesting lady. You may know the story. Look a little bit ahead in chapter 7 if you don't know the story. But he said to her, your sins are forgiven. Who said yay? Margaret. I'll tell you what. Margaret gets it. Jesus didn't come for the perfect. He came for the imperfect. He exchanged his old for new. The new is joyful. The new is forgiven. That's why we're joyful. I would have put them around the other way round, actually, in terms of principle, but they're not that order in the Bible. But actually, when you know that you're forgiven, you know that stuff just doesn't stick anymore. Including what we think about ourselves. Do you know that we're the biggest critic that we'll ever have? The biggest critic of your life is sat on your chair. The biggest influencer of your life is sat where you're sat. Which is why we need to see that Jesus is sat there. If you've given your life to Jesus, he's sat there with you. And what he's saying is, you can do it. It'll be all right. I forgive you. And he goes on and says, your faith. I even forgive Norway. Is it your faith? Your faith has saved you. What does that mean? It's kept you secure. Go in peace. I don't know how many of you came with peace. What does peace mean? In terms of this word, it means complete well-being. Doesn't mean a lack of noise. It means the presence of a king. It doesn't mean that there's not stuff happening in life. Stuff happens in life. What this means is the presence of the King of Peace, the Prince of Peace, silences it all. It's about complete well-being, well-being of mind. You're not just running off here trying to work everything out before it happens. There's well-being of heart. It's not that you just have an expectation that she's just totally unrealistic. It's peace in your body too. If there's pain in there or discomfort in there or agony in there or just Jesus came to bring peace to you. So that you won't live in pieces, but you will live in peace. That's really what this means. How many of you are getting something out of this? I am. I like this. I'm the first one to listen to this. It's true. I'm listening to it. Chapter 8, verse 46. Jesus said this. This was, again, a story. Some of you that maybe know God, you'll know this. Jesus was about to go and do a great miracle. Somebody had died and he was about to bring life to them. And he was through a bit of a jostle time. It was, there's people around him and pushing him and jostling him and touching him. But then suddenly one person touched him with an expectation is, I need to get something from this person. So she had an expectation. If I just touch him, I'm going to be all right. She had had years and years and years of pain and discomfort and aggravation and isolation and rejection and all the things that maybe I mentioned at the beginning. She felt rejected, ashamed. She felt outside of life. But in her head, she made that decision. If only, say if only. And I just encourage you that even if you come to God this morning with an if only, He'll still do something. If only I touch God, He'll make me feel well. If only I can touch Jesus this morning, He'll help me feel secure. If only I can touch Jesus this morning, I'll find some freedom. All you need is an if only. Because Jesus takes the if away. And He just says, only touch me. Only believe. Only ask. Jesus takes the if away. You need to know that. Because if we put an if in it, we think He may or He may not. So Jesus takes it away. Only touch me. Only believe. Only ask. Only seek. Only knock. Come on. This is Jesus. This might be, I don't know, I guess some of you know Jesus, but I want to make sure you know the right Jesus. Because sometimes we think Jesus is as imperfect as us, and we have to be as perfect as Him to have a relationship with Him. You got that back to front, my friend. I am imperfect, but He is perfect, but my faith is in Him, not in me. He is perfection, and I am not. I was going to say something really rude then. I make it up sometimes. But my confidence is not in my ability to get it right. It's in His ability that He's got it right. And He says this tremendously powerful thing to this lady. Who's touched me? In the middle of a crowd when there were loads of people around Him. He said, yeah, but this person touched me with confidence that they were going to get it. I can guarantee this morning, if you reach out in your heart, if you reach out with your life, maybe some of you literally have to reach out, knowing that God is there and knowing that God wants to touch you, boom, you're going to get what you need. Because Jesus never turns people away. Never. He walked around touching lives and releasing kingdom power to everyone who believed in Him. He wants to do the same with you and with me. It's time. If you know Christ this morning, He wants to do the same in your life as He did in His own life. That's why the church is called the body of Christ. It's not called the body of Muslim or Allah or Buddha. It's the body of Christ. Thank you, Jesus. It's not called the body of May or Corbin or any. It's the body of Christ. Jesus wants to use you to touch lives with. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go into chapter 9. You're doing well? You're doing all right? Front row's doing all right? Check you guys out. Chapter 9. Verse 42 and 43. Even while the boy was coming, this is after this tremendous spiritual encounter. The three disciples, three followers of Jesus had this tremendous window of Jesus at a prayer meeting. Jesus prayed like this all the time, but it's just this time He took some people with Him. And then afterwards, it was suddenly, what's going on? And we cut into this story where it says, even while the boy was coming, the demon threw him to the ground in a convulsion, twisting him. Changing his appearance, changing maybe his sound, maybe changing his life expectancy. When the enemy gets hold of your life, guess what? They just want to kill, steal, and destroy you. When the enemy, who is out there, gets hold of our life, he just wants to kill, steal, and destroy from you. He twists things. He manipulates things. He takes a truth and makes it half a truth, which means it's half a lie. He wants to change your appearance. He wants to change your perception. He's not going to do it in an obvious way. He's just going to do it a little bit. Tweak, tweak, tweak. So that you think you have what God says you have, but you just doubt it a little bit. You think you are who God says you are, but you doubt it a little bit. You think you can do what God says you can do, but you don't really think it. It's just a little tweak. Because that's enough to stop you believing in Jesus. And we find here in this real event. But Jesus rebuked the impure spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the greatness of God. While everyone was marveling at all that Jesus did, he said to his disciples, what's the point of this? That Jesus came to set you free. But to make you a freedom fighter. He wants you to be free. Transparent, open, honest, real. free. Jesus knew that there was a war going over who owned your life and who ruled your life, which is why he came and demolished it, defeated it, and dismayed it. Jesus knew that there was influences over people's lives, which is why he came and took that influence and smashed it into a million pieces. It's called the cross. You might think it's called Easter. You might think it's about chocolate bunnies. It's about when the power of every enemy that wants to kill you was destroyed. It's about when the influence of everything that wants to rob from you was made a mockery of. You might be sitting there thinking, oh, it hasn't worked in my life. Then stop living your life and give it to Jesus. I can't make it work. You can't make it work. I trust in the one that does. His name is Jesus. Well, it's all right for you, but it don't work for me. I've heard it all a million times, even in my own head. And my conclusion is this. I trust not in my own strength, but in the strength of Jesus. We can all convince ourselves that we're right, if we want to. We can all convince ourselves that we're justified to be right, if we want to. But as far as I know, the only person in the entire universe that is ever right is God, and that is not you, and it is not me. I do apologise. So Jesus came to cleanse us in our spirit, to cleanse our soul, our mind, will and emotion, and to cleanse our body, and to restore broken relationships. I love the reality that the very, very first thing that happened with this little boy after Jesus set him free was he put him back with his father. I love that. Jesus came to restore me and to restore us. I think that's cool. He wants you and me to live in great, fruitful, whole relationships. But to do that, he first made my relationship with him great, whole and free. Is that all right? We're almost there now. Chapter 10. And we're going to pray for some folks in a minute. So after this dialogue, the Lord appointed 72 and sent them out two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. I like that. I don't know how many of you have seen this, but when we go out into the world, whether it's going to work, going to school, going to college, going to church, going to Sainsbury's, going to Iceland, going to wherever it is that Jesus says, where you go, I'm going to come as well. Have you read that? It says, he sent them ahead of him where he was about to go. So I love the fact that, you know, on Saturday, open house, and I love the open houses, is that Jesus wants to come as well. I love the fact that tomorrow, whatever you're going to do in life, Jesus wants to come as well. We go ahead of where he's going to go. And he said to them, the harvest is plentiful. Say plentiful. We probably know all of this. Yeah, I've heard 1,000 stories. Look out the window and it's all white. Lardy, lardy, lardy. I know that. But what we've got to get our head round is on Monday, you wake up in the harvest. When you look at your bank balance and there's maybe a bit more red than black on it, you woke up in the harvest. But when you begin to feel pain and hurt in your body, you need to tell your body, but I'm in the harvest. When you've just had a row with friends or family or whoever, you're in the harvest. You're not in the harvest when things are going great. You're in the harvest because of God's nature in you. If you're giving your life to Christ, you're in the harvest. We need to change how we see what we look at. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Now, this is going to sound like a bit of a moan right now. I apologise for that, but at least I'm going to tell you now. Is that okay? It's harvest time. We need workers. Now, you might think, I already do a lot of work. Absolutely, that's not what I'm talking about. The Bible says that the work of the kingdom is to believe. So my question isn't how hard are we working. My question is how much do we believe? Because we all work hard. We all do what we do. My question is, how do we do what we do? Not what do we do? It's about faith. It's about expectation. God's going to use this. I am part of the harvest and I want to harvest others. So what I do, I'm going to give it to God. God, please use this. Use this phone call. Use this email. Use this text. Use this Instagram. Use this Snapchat. Use this conversation because I'm in the harvest now. Use my hands for something, Jesus. Even if it feels like there's not much in it. Let God be in it and see what happens. But here's the moan. For the last three Sundays, at about 8:30, there's been me and about 10 people setting up a whole of this facility. Now, that's not a moan, because actually I quite enjoy doing that. I like chucking stuff around and bossing people about. But what I've seen in that group of people is a tremendous sense of team, servanthood, faithfulness, camaraderie, excitement about other people coming. And that is a precious thing. So part of being in harvest, for me, is I'm excited when other people reap from the harvest. It excites me to hear that the outreach team on Saturday had a great time. I wasn't even there, but I was praying for them for an hour because I'm part of it. It's part of my harvest. So here's the moan. I would like to see from next Sunday a lot more people just coming along to pray. If you can. I know some of you, there's really, really practical reasons, which is fine. But maybe for some of you, maybe you could. If you can make it at 8:30 to just come and help pray in the room, put some stuff up, that would be great. Not because I'm into all of this, because to be honest, I don't need all of this to meet with Jesus, to be honest with you. I don't. But I don't do all of this for me, I do all of this for others. Have you got that? So that's a bit of the moan. So sorry if it sounds a bit like he's having a go at me. I kind of am and I'm not. All right? But pray. Believe that God is going to use what you offer him. What you offer him, God wants to use. When you offer something in harvest time, it gives you a real buzz. I was so excited after Wednesday night, partly because I'd survived, you know, the 45 degree wind blowing and the rain coming down. Monica, bless her, looked like a little husky all up with her coat on. It's like, there is Monica under there. Yeah, it is. But at the end of it, after an hour, it was like, everybody was like, God, that was amazing. We know we've changed the town. We know we've impressed God into people. And it's that I want us all to get. Whatever it is that you do, do it for God. Did you understand that? So we've got a whole bunch of people that have been with us for almost a year. For some of them, it feels longer. To be honest, for some of them, I feel it is longer. Can you stand up if you're from the Bible school? And can you come out and join me if you're from the Bible school? Now, I know that Chan's in United, because he's where he's asked to be, so that's cool. If you now look around you, just have a look around you. You are the connect team. You are the welcome team. You are the setup team. You're the prayer team. You're the guys that do great tea and coffee. You're guys that just have a smiley face when people come in the room. It's not them. It's us. We're the people that just make sure everything's right. Everything's prayed into. Everything's got a good atmosphere. It's us. Just have a look around the us. Again, I'm not having a moan. I'm just pointing out some realities here. We're the ones that fill up the chairs next to us. These guys have been out on mission at least once a week for 9 months. And they've loved it. And they've seen people give their lives to Jesus. But actually, they've grown as a team. Their confidence has grown. Their language has grown, because I've heard it. I had the privilege of being with them 6 days a week. It feels like longer. But let me tell you a secret. Out of these 10 people, I know Chan's out there,
We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 of these staying on another year. That's quite good. Why is that? Well, you heard one of the Thanksgiving cards. Because they feel part of where we're going. And that's the point I'm trying to make. When we pray together, we build a certain kind of relationship. When we pray and serve together, we build another kind of relationship. When we build and serve and also minister, which is the same as serving anyway, we build another kind of relationship. And what God works is uses is relationship. So we've got... Thank you. Oh, that was for me, wasn't it? And we've got something to give you guys. And no, it isn't that we're going to pay your fees off. But we do have something to give you. And they've all got your names on it, so have I mucked them all up? No, he's found his own. That was pretty quick. Ben, mate, we love you. Aww, Sophie. Let me just grab a few of these, and if I don't like it, Rory, mate, we love you, bless you. Where's Josh? He's over here. Josh, appreciate you. Annette, we appreciate you. Steve, we appreciate you. Thank you. Lenny! Sorry, I got confused then, because I call Victoria Norway all the time, and suddenly it's her name. It's like, who is that? John, we love you, appreciate you. Tunda. Thank you so much. Has everybody got something? Let's all stand up, shall we? And if you want to, and I know that most of you know these guys, if you want to, just come and pray for them. Come and encourage them. Come and bring maybe a word from God or a word from the Bible. You can do that now. Just move out the front. Just move out and come and lay hands on them, pray for them. Give them money. Do anything. Vivian loves all of them, so this will be interesting. That's it, just encourage them. Bless them. If you'd be more comfortable just to pray for them in your chair, you could just reach out and pray God's blessing over them. Because we're going to send these guys out on placement. They leave from tomorrow morning. Some of them for 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. Some of them are going to Poland. Some of them are going to Switzerland. Some of them are going around the UK to go and bless people in the harvest. Right now we're sowing into the harvest. We might not be able to go with them, but we can go with them in our prayers, in our faith, in our confidence. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Just a couple more minutes, guys. Just blessing these people. Thank you. Awesome. What a lovely lot, eh? Another good reason why it's good to bless them is because we got some cake to have afterwards. And I like cake. There's another couple of guys that we really want to pray for as well. Only one of them is here this morning. But Shane and Marie will be going back to Australia on Friday. Temporarily, I'll add. And they've been really part of Kingdom Faith in Worthing pretty much since we started in the Leisure Centre on a Sunday night. And... I just love you guys. You got great attitude, great heart. You got a beard, which is amazing. I know Marie's not feeling so well today, but these guys are off to Australia to really go and hear what God is saying about them. So Shane, mate, do you want to come out here as well? How many of you really love and appreciate Shane? And Marie as well. The better half. It always is, so... So you're going to kind of go back to Australia, hear what God is saying?
Yeah, I think so. One of the opportunities that we may have, we're just waiting to hear from our senior pastors back in Sydney, is to go and connect with a colleague that we have in Tunisia for a couple of weeks before then meeting with the rest of the missionaries that our church has sent out. And that'll be in Portugal in the first-ish week of July. Then we'll go back to Sydney. The government has said that we need to be legally out of the country by Friday. We'll probably leave maybe next Monday rather than Friday. It depends. So, yeah, that's the government. They said no to our visa extension. So,
right, let's pray, shall we? Father, we want to thank you for the gift that Shane and Maria to you, and they have been to us. And Father, we don't understand everything that's going on, but we know that you're King. We know that you're Lord. Yeah. And we ask you to rule and overrule.
Amen.
If anything has been preventing or delaying your will, we just break those things off. We thank you for peace for Shane Marie, particularly in the body right now. We thank you for really speaking very clearly about what they're to do for you over these next few weeks. I know that they hear you. I know that they love you. I know that they want to obey you. So, Father, there's an ease in it. We speak that ease over them. Upgrades on flights, travel in mercies. We thank you for favor for these people that have served you in a foreign land for this amount of time. Bless them back, a good measure, pressed down, shaken
Amen.
Together, and running over.
Amen.
Bless their families that they've left, and mums and dads and all kinds of people. But also, we want to thank you for the legacy that they've left with us.
Yes,
for the years that they've just prayed and contributed, brought messages, just invested, I thank you that everything that they've done, you give them back 100-fold more.
Amen.
For your glory, Lord, for your honor and for your praise. Hallelujah. Come on, let's give the Lord some praise, shall we? You guys want to go? Wow. Powerful. So we're a sending church. We like sending people out. Have you got time for a few more thoughts?
Yep.
Who said yes? Tom has. Tom's a good guy. He's tall. So we're into chapter 11, which is kind of today's. Today's the 11th of June. And again, most of us may know this scripture. I've referred to it a few times already through the message. But Jesus said this in Luke 11, 9 to 13. I say to you, and I believe he's saying to you right now, he's saying to you at this moment, he's saying to you at this step of your journey, to this breath of your body, he's saying this to you at this moment in your heartbeat, ask and it will be given to you. I believe he's saying this to us, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be opened for you. In other words, it's God's intention, it's his purpose to be found. It's his purpose to open. It's his purpose to give. Some of you need to hear that. Some of you just need to be reminded of that. To one who knocks, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Only if he's weird. Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion. He's really weird. Maybe it's Bear Grylls. If you then, though you're evil, know how to give good gifts for your children. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So Jesus came so that those who ask get something. Now, I don't know about you, but having just decided in my own heart that actually I mess up on stuff, and it's all right because God will help me, is that my inclination is more to ask than not to ask. Because I sometimes do stuff and regret it afterwards, or, you know, there's just areas of my life that just don't seem to be working how God wants them to work, my inclination is to seek God. And because I know what my own life is like more than you do, the only person that knows what my life might more than me is God. My inclination is I'm going to knock down that door of opportunity because I know he's going to open it for me. So my inclination is that I ask because it just makes sense to ask. I seek because it's just, that's what you need to do. And I knock because that's just obvious. If you can't get in where you know you should be, you knock on the door. We've got to stop. If this is us, if this is you in any way, we've got to stop asking like that. Oh, no. We've got to stop knocking like this. Just knocking my head against the door. And I've got to stop seeking like this.
La, 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 la.
No, no, God wants to open up our mouth and open up our eyes and use both hands to knock on the door. Because he wants you and I to have what he says we can have and to do what he says we can do. And more importantly, to be who he says we can be. So let's jump to our feet. I know there's a lot of jumping up and down. This is like church, up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. One of the things which, again, quite often we've done on a Sunday is we've had a confession. And one of the things which I think was most powerful as part of our recent freedom encounter, and freedom encounter is part of our freedom small groups. We go into a freedom small group for 12 weeks. And then at the end of that, there is a freedom encounter, which really is the highlight. That's the climax. That's a Friday night and a whole Saturday of 8 sessions. And every session, we're just listening to the Bible. When I say just, that's an understatement. The room is full of the presence of Jesus. So you might hear it from the person reading it out, but most people hear it from Jesus sat next to him saying, and this is what I mean, and this is what I mean, and this is what I mean, and this is what I mean. And part of these eight sessions, there's a response. And the first bit is we just say, God, I'm sorry that I haven't believed that. God, I'm sorry that I've been caught up in that when I don't have to. God, I'm really sorry. It's called repentance or turning around. You might have the word, but maybe you don't do it so much. Let me just explain. Repentance means I change my mind. Then the second part is we just agree with God. Okay, God, yeah, you found me out. But it's all right because you forgive me and you set me free. And then the never aspect is we all confess and get refilled with the presence of God. So I just written this. I wrote this the other day. And I like starting off with this. These words will not come up on the screen, all right? Just repeat them after me. Is that okay? You might be sitting there thinking, standing there thinking, he's trying to control me. Yes, I am. I am. He's trying to manipulate me. Yes, I am. I'll be honest about it. Because all I'm just going to do is get you to read out the Bible, but just with different words. So you can either be in control or you can let God be in control. You can either manipulate yourself or be manipulated by the Bible. It's entirely up to you, all right? Nobody's going to sit and check you out. I am blessed because God has blessed me.
I am blessed because God has blessed me.
Because my life belongs to God.
Because my life belongs to God.
I do not belong to the world or to the devil.
I do not belong to the world or to the devil.
Now, if your life doesn't belong to God, maybe that's not so easy for you to say, but if it does, it's true for you. I don't worry about tomorrow. Because God cares for me.
God has a plan for my life.
And I want to live fully in that plan.
And I want to live fully in that plan.
His plan is to prosper me. Prosper me in my relationship with him.
Prosper my relationships with others.
To prosper me in my body.
To prosper me in the home.
To prosper me in the workplace.
To prosper me in the marketplace.
And to prosper me in the church.
His plan for my life
will never fail.
Because he is for me.
Who can stand against me?
Because he is willing to serve me.
I am willing to serve those around me.
I am too blessed to be stressed.
For God is my strength.
My health and my energy.
To God be all the glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Yes. Woo-hoo. Amen. That's powerful.
Yeah.
And I heard you say that. I heard me say that. God's heard it. We're going to kind of seal this part of this morning with communion, which is always a good thing to do. How many of you
say yes and amen to that. So just close your eyes. Father, I want to thank you for breaking the bread and the cup in a moment. Andrew's going to lead us through in that in just a moment. But I thank you most of all that you've got a plan for our life.
Amen.
And that plan is to prosper us. And if my life doesn't look like that, doesn't feel like that or sound like that, Lord Jesus, help me to come back to you, ask you, seek you, and find you, so that you put me back where you need me to be. I thank you that there is no condemnation. There is no judgment. There is just grace and mercy and love. There is no shut door. There is no hide and seek. There is no deaf ears. But you hear, you look, and you open. Amen.
Amen.
Let's give the Lord some praise, shall we?
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.